taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach a rising generation to be free, and I am glad you could join me today. You know, trust is an interesting thing. It's hard to earn, and it's easy to lose. But it's something that we need if we're going to live in a civil society. You need to trust that when people say they're going to do something, they actually do it. And if you think about it, society as a whole is based on trust. Trust that the laws that are being passed are legitimate and legal, that are exercising powers delegated to the government. Trust that those laws will be enforced and that they'll be enforced properly and fairly. The very idea of justice rests on this idea of trust. Can we trust that the people we have chosen to write our laws, execute our laws, decide controversies about our laws, can we trust them to follow their oath and to do the right thing? Well, I would say if we looked at the last couple of years, the answer to that question is no. Now, our ability to trust in government really should not have been there for many years, and in some cases, many decades. But I think the last 2 years have shown just how corrupt governments as a whole have become, how people in government are using their powers for their own advancement rather than to fulfill their oaths of office. So that's what I wanted to take a look at today, this question of trust. And really, who can you trust? I mean, between Fauci and the NIH and Walensky at the CDC and the FDA, they really have burned through trust. How many of you remember 14 days, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, that all we need to do is be willing to suspend your rights for 2 weeks so that we don't overwhelm the hospitals? You all remember that, right? More than 2 years later, we are still talking about implementing illegal, unconstitutional acts for a disease that we now know was never that much of a threat. Looking at the CDC data, even with their inflated death numbers, the death rate from COVID was never above about 1.6%. Now, 1.6% is a lot to the families of the people that died. But we traded our birthrights as American citizens because we trusted these people that they had our best interests at heart, and they didn't. And now that they've had their power grab, we see more evidence that they're unwilling to give it up. They're doing everything they can to hold on to power. And that includes a lack of transparency. See, as I said, trust is difficult to attain, but easy to lose. And one of the ways you quickly lose it is by hiding things. And the CDC, when the CDC comes out and says, oh, you know what, we had a coding logic error, and our death numbers were grossly wrong. When reports come out saying that even the case number is inflated, when we find out that, oh, by the way, that PCR test that they used to generate a lot of these numbers was flawed because it couldn't tell the difference between COVID and the flu. See, all of these things erode trust. So I'm not surprised when polls come out saying, you know, people don't trust the federal government. We've got no reason to. They have not acted trustworthy in many a decade. And I'm not simply picking on Democrats, Republicans, executive, legislative. Trust is something that is earned, and trust is something that they have abused and squandered. Even the trust. So when Senator Johnson sends a letter looking, asking questions about how the FDA and CDC handled the, you know, the government's response to COVID, and he doesn't like their response. He said, quote, he received grossly inadequate response to his legitimate oversight. The only oversight you have, sir, is over the law and the money. The CDC and the FDA don't report to Congress. They report to the president. Now, if you believe that the CDC and the FDA is doing something wrong, you can obviously, you could pass a law to force them to comply with some reporting that you wish to have. If they refuse to do that, you can cut off their funding. You could even go so far as to impeach members of the FDA and CDC that you think have acted in a way that violates the commission of their office. But if you expect me to believe that Senator Johnson is simply using this because, well, he's out for the little guy and he wants to know what's going on, I'm sorry, I have a hard time with that. Because if that were true, he would not be saying that he has a legitimate oversight. Congress's, a senator's legitimate oversight ends with passing the law. And the oversight that the only oversight that comes from that is, again, funding, impeachment, or changing the law. Now, trust me, the CDC and the FDA have not exactly garnered trust in how they have dealt with COVID the last 2 years. In fact, I'd say quite the opposite. You know, I think of our of the trust that has eroded in our quote unquote public health officials. Of course, I never trusted them because, well, the federal government's not authorized to deal with public health. It's not one of the powers, the enumerated powers listed in the Constitution that was delegated to the United States. But I know a lot of people trusted our public health officials in Washington. I know a lot of people who did exactly what they were told because, well, they were told to. I know a lot of more people who simply follow along because, well, it's the government. But if they're exercising powers that they don't legitimately have, how can you trust that they're going to do it legitimately? Again, trust is one of those things that is difficult to earn and easy to lose. Which makes me wonder, why are the FDA and the CDC so reticent to provide this information? If you remember my interview with Dr. Peter McCullough, the purpose of the FDA is to come up with safety data for drugs. That's the little inserts you get in all those little drug things you get. The CDC is primarily a records keeping, they're a statistical organization. Yet the quality of the data we've gotten out of them really hasn't been very good. And as far as Fauci and the NIH, as he's contradicted himself so often, I don't trust anything, especially a man who thinks he is science. Now, there's arrogance. No, I don't trust them. I've been talking for a while about the adverse effects of this experimental vaccine. But it seems that the FDA, the CDC, the American government, which, by the way, is the sponsor of this drug, right? This is a gene therapy. These mRNAs are not vaccines. They're gene therapy. They're being sponsored by the government, which is also supposedly the watchdog making sure that they're safe and effective. Conflict of interest, anyone? Why should we trust you? And when we see the VAERS data and we're seeing thousands of people die, we're seeing tens and hundreds of thousands of adverse effects, we're seeing reports of myocarditis, pericarditis, and other reactions, why are they not informing the public? Now, there's a couple ways to look at this. On the one hand, they could say, well, the FDA and the CDC, they don't trust the public. They're afraid maybe that if they provide this information, the public will make a decision they disagree with. Quite possibly true. But the other part of it is, how can the American people trust the bureaucrats if they're hiding information. See, that's the thing about trust. And what happens when we stop trusting those we hire to execute our power in government? Now, sure, you and I don't directly hire the bureaucrats, but we hire the people they work for. The FDA, CDC, they're all creations of Congress. Illegal though they may be, by the way. These are unconstitutional, therefore illegal. The legislation that created them is null and void, but they're there. And the Congress is the one that created them. Congress is the one that authorizes the funding for them. Congress is the one that sets the rules by which they're supposed to operate. And Congress, well, Congress is supposed to work for us. The House of Representatives is elected by the people to represent the people. The Senate now is elected by the people to represent the states. How can we trust them if they refuse to follow the Constitution and if they refuse to hold these entities accountable? If the FDA and CDC are not following the rules, they need to be defunded. Personally, they should simply cease to exist as a violation of the 10th Amendment. But how can we trust them if there's no accountability for their failures? The very idea that the same government agencies, the FDA and the CDC, that are supposed to ensure the safety of a drug and collect the statistics about the effects of the drug are the ones that are sponsoring the drug means we shouldn't trust them. Would you trust a ball team that was also the referee? Or more accurately, would you trust a referee that worked for one team? We wouldn't. See, this trust has been shaken. It's been damaged. It's been broken. But it seems like we, the American people, are okay with it. Or at least we're unwilling to do anything about it. So if you can't trust the people who supposedly are there to keep you safe, to watch out for bad drugs, to collect data about diseases and the effect of treatments, well, who can you trust? If you can't trust your legislators to pass good laws, follow the Constitution, who can you trust? And since both the FDA and the CDC are part of the executive branch, which is headed up by a president of the United States, if you can't trust the president, who can you trust? Now, my motto, which I picked up from President Reagan, is trust but verify. See, if you earn my trust, I give you the benefit of the doubt, but you still have to verify that what you're saying is true. I like to call myself a Berean, right? In the Bible, the Bereans were the ones that listened to what people had to say and then went back to Scripture to see if it's so. I listen to the media and the pundits and the bureaucrats, and then I go back to the documents to see if it was so. And I see little trustworthy in the actions of anyone in government at the moment. There are thousands and probably hundreds of thousands of honest, trustworthy individuals that work for government. In fact, if you include the state and local governments, there are millions of honest, trustworthy people who work for government. But if the entity that they work for is not trustworthy, how can you trust that what they're telling you is true? Not because they are lying, but maybe because they've been lied to. And if the trust is broken between the people and the governments they created, remember, the only legitimate power government has is from the consent of the governed. If they lose our trust, if we no longer consent to the powers they have, what comes next? This idea of trust isn't simply I'm going to do what I'm told because I trust that they're doing the right thing. This trust has long-term impact for you, for your families, for your neighbors, for this country as a whole. And if we cannot trust those we elect to exercise our power in our name, why do we keep electing them? As I like to ask when I'm speaking, how can you tell when a politician's lying? And the answer is almost always some variation of their lips are moving. If I can't trust you to tell the truth, how can I trust you to follow your oath? What does it say about me that we, and the rest of the American people, that we are hiring untrustworthy people to exercise our power in our name? See, trust works both ways. It's not only the people in government that we have to trust. We have to trust our neighbors that when they are casting their votes, they're doing so in a trustworthy manner. So it really is up to us. We have to learn to trust. We have to act in a way that our neighbors can trust. When it comes to selecting representatives, to holding our elected officials accountable, we have to act in a trustworthy manner. We cannot expect other people to trust us if we don't act in a trustworthy manner. So that's going to be my first call to action. Look at how you're choosing your elected representatives and ask, are you trustworthy in how, are they trustworthy in what they're doing? And are you trustworthy in how you are choosing them? Because if you can't trust yourself, well, who can you trust? Now, I have to set out for a break, but before I do, I want to remind you to check out AmericaOutloud.com. Make it your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. Let us all do our part. Share the stories, the videos, the articles, the podcasts, so that we can all help secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity.
Along with a healthy immune system, clean air is vital for optimal health. According to the EPA, we spend 90% of our time indoors, where germs are most concentrated. It's essential to clean indoor air. Genesis is the only technology that quickly, safely, and effectively kills pathogens both in the air and on surfaces in seconds, reducing the viral load in any environment. The powerful, well-built Genesis Fogger produces a dry, ultra-fine mist using HOCL, which occurs naturally in our own immune systems. We'll be living with airborne diseases in the future. New viruses and antibiotic-resistant superbugs are no problem for Genesis. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next. Visit GenesisFogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at GenesisFogger.com/OUTLOUD.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we are talking about trust. And routinely, one of the most trusted organizations in government is the U.S. military. You know, whether it's because the fact that these are the people that have volunteered to fight to protect your rights, to defend the Constitution, or the fact that, for the most part, you're dealing with really honest, great people. I mean, like any large organization, like any bureaucracy, there's going to be inefficiencies and there's going to be waste and there's going to be idiots. But for the most part, these are the men and women that have volunteered to protect us. So we tend to trust them. Which means when the government that oversees them, that they report to, breaks trust with them, it truly is a harmful situation. It is not only harmful for the morale, for the people that are actually in the military, but for the military readiness, for their ability to do the job, to fulfill the oath they took to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. So when I see these articles, like the Army has discharged more soldiers for refusing to participate in a medical experiment. I'm pissed off. It really does bother me. According to, I found this on Epoch Times. To date, Army commanders have relieved a total of 6 regular Army leaders, including 2 battalion commanders, and issued 3,275 general officer written reprimands to the regular Army soldiers for refusing the quote-unquote vaccination order. I put the quotes there because they call it a vaccination order. This is not a vaccination order. First of all, because the mRNA quote-unquote vaccines are not really vaccines. They're not legally vaccines. Second of all, these are experimental drugs, which means, well, as I understand the U.S. Code of Military Justice, the military cannot force you to take a drug, a product, that has not been approved by the FDA. The mRNA drugs, the jabs, the only one approved by the FDA was the Comirnaty brand of the Pfizer BioNTech, and last I heard, they weren't offering that in the U.S. So our government is asking our military, our volunteer military, to be medical experiments. They've issued over 3,000 written reprimands for refusing an illegal order. And again, I'm not a lawyer, but as I understand it, in the military, you're only required to follow legal orders. These are illegal orders. They violate the Uniform Code of Military Justice because these are experimental treatments that they're being asked to take. Now, the Army is just the latest of the military branches to announce that it is separating members for failure to follow an illegal order. Earlier in March, the Air Force separated 212 airmen, while the Navy has announced that they've discharged over 652 sailors. And I've reported previously about the separation of Marines. Now, we're talking about a time when tensions are high, there's a war going on in Eastern Europe. Granted, it's between Ukraine and Russia. But there are concerns that this could easily spill over to NATO. And when you're looking at the concerns of military readiness, we're going to separate people from the military because, A, they fail to be willing to become a party to a medical experiment for a disease they have that's a minimal risk to them. If you're in the military, you're not likely to have 4 or more comorbidities. You're not going to be grossly overweight. You're less likely to have diabetes. Now, granted, you may have some, but the odds are a lot of these soldiers, they're not at high risk of serious side effects from COVID. But you see, COVID has turned from a medical situation, a public health issue, to a political issue. And the last thing that this administration, everyone from President Biden through Defense Secretary, and I believe even down to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, last thing they want are soldiers that actually think and apply the law and the Constitution, because they are unwilling to recognize their rights to control their own body. The International Medical Ethics Code, called the Nuremberg Code, that says they cannot be coerced into participating in a medical experiment. And these drugs are medical experiments. So we are seeing our government further break trust with the very men and women they expect to defend them. I don't know if that's foolish, if that's arrogant, or just short-sighted. I don't know. But this breaking of trust, it's not simply a question of, oh, well, you know, here's an order, and they fail to follow orders. No, 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 no. See, there's a little thing called the Uniform Code of Military Justice, or UCMJ. You can find it if you want. If you look under Title 10 United States Code, Section 892 includes the Article 92, which is the failure to obey an order or regulation. And it basically says, listen, any person subject to this chapter who violates or fails to obey any lawful general order or regulation, having knowledge of any other lawful order issued by a member of the armed forces, which is his duty to obey, fails to obey the order, or is derelict in the forms of his duty, shall be punished as a court-martial may direct. Well, let me point you to a few little interesting facts here. Now, okay, remember, it says lawful order. Well, I'm going to focus here at the Army for the moment because I've got some interesting data. I just found this out the other day, and I wanted to bring it to you. Now, the Army has what are called fragmentary orders. And under fragmentary order number 5, or FRAGO they call them, FRAGO number 5, the Headquarters Department of the Army COVID Operations Order, ordered on 4 September 21, states that commanders will ensure sufficient doses of Department of Defense approved vaccines are on hand and available for their unit. Now, the order for COVID vaccines, it's clear they have to have Defense Department approved vaccines. Apparently this has been a problem, but it gets even worse. See, the FRAGO number 5 is to ensure that vaccines are available for troops are, well, I'm not sure. Is it FDA approved or Department of Defense approved? See, according to the reporting here from America Out Loud, right, that these drugs need to be FDA approved. This is supported by the fact that the Secretary himself told every serviceman on August 24th of 2021 in a memo that only vaccines for use will receive full licensure from the Food and Drug Administration in accordance with FDA-approved labeling guidance. Except as of today, there are no FDA-approved, fully licensed vaccines available to the military on any military installation in the U.S. or overseas. See, the only FDA-approved COVID vaccine is the Comirnaty brand, which is not available in the United States and is not approved for the military. It's not available to them. So here you have men and women being separated for failure to follow an order that is obviously illegal because the quote-unquote vaccines they want you to take are not FDA-licensed. They are not FDA-approved. Now, the Department of Defense knows that there are no FDA-approved COVID vaccines possible, yet they're still separating and punishing service members for refusing to take an unlicensed, quote-unquote, vaccine, one that is only available under an emergency use authorization. That means that this order to take the vaccine is not a lawful one, because it violates the requirement that they be FDA approved, that that these military men and women will only be required to take FDA licensed vaccines. As I said, these are not legally vaccines, and none of them available in the US have an FDA approval. So you have the military separating people for saying, wait a second, whether they would take another version of the vaccine or not, they're simply saying, listen, you don't have an FDA-approved vaccine, which means, as I understand it, under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the Department of Defense cannot require military personnel to take a vaccine or a drug if it has not been FDA-approved and licensed. But yet you have men and women being separated. You talk about breaking faith. You talk about destroying the trust. It's bad enough. So how are the men and women in the military going to trust their commander-in-chief for issuing illegal orders and then punishing them for not following them? How are they going to trust their upper ranks, the higher commands, if they know that they're being punished for violating an unlawful order? So we have trust being broken. We have faith being broken. But remember, when the government breaks faith with the military, it's not them versus the military. Government, is formed from us. We, the people, ordain and establish the Constitution through our states that created the federal government, that created the three branches, that created the president as the commander-in-chief, and that created the Congress who sets the rules for the military. So when our government, in our name, breaks faith with the military, might as well be us breaking faith with the military. And if those in the military cannot trust their military leaders, and they cannot trust the political leaders, how can they trust the people of this country? Do you see how this breakdown in the basic concepts of trust have these propagating arms? It's not one little thing. But all the things that build up lead to a general distrust. A distrust in government, a distrust in bureaucracy, a distrust in institutions, a distrust in your neighbor. And without trust, a free country can't exist. If we cannot trust our neighbors to help us, if we were to stand up again, the biggest thing I'm asked when I'm on the road is, well, yeah, sure, if you stand up, but they're going to come after you. You're right. I remember back, you know, early in the pandemic, there were two videos that came out about the same time. One was a mother in Texas, the other a business owner in Buffalo, New York. And in the case of the mother in Texas, a guy with a uniform attempted to arrest her for not wearing a mask. She's outdoors. She's watching her son play an outdoor game. There's no one near her. But you see, he had a rule to enforce. Illegal rule, unconstitutional rule, but he had a rule to enforce. Not that dissimilar. In Buffalo, New York, you had I think it was a health inspector with a couple of sheriff's deputies. She had a rule to enforce. But you see, neither of them were actually following the Constitution. Interestingly enough, in the Texas version, when the officer assaulted her, tased her, handcuffed her, and dragged her away, nobody did anything. There was no trust between her and her fellow citizens to stand up against the abusive power of an official. Well, on the other hand, in Buffalo, New York, when the owner stood up and said, no, you need a warrant to come search my place. You don't get to come here. You're trespassing. You must leave. You are breaking the law. His patrons stood with him, stood behind him, shouted that they would not let this stand. See, they talk about a social compact. That's the social compact. The trust that when something wrong is being done to one of us, we will all stand with them, or at least a significant majority of us. Which means if we cannot trust the bureaucrats, and our military cannot trust us, where do we go from here? How do you live free when the supreme law of the land, you don't trust that people will support you when you abide by it? See, we're asking our military to risk heart attacks, pericarditis, myocarditis, pulmonary embolisms, cerebral infarction, disseminated intravascular coagulation. These are some of them, of the possible effects of this experimental treatment. If you want to find out more, check out America Out Loud. Look up Peter McCullough's page. He goes into very good detail. Yes, he uses some big words, but he explains it very, very well. These are the risks. We're already asking them to risk life and limb to protect the Constitution. Shouldn't they trust that we will protect them when the bureaucrats that work for us infringe on that Constitution, violate that Constitution to infringe on their rights? If we don't trust, if we cannot trust our neighbors, if we cannot trust those we hire to protect our rights, then the only way to protect yourself is via force. And that basically means a revolution, a potentially armed conflict. And the thing is, we can avoid it. But it's going to take it's going to take trusting our neighbors. And the only way our neighbors will trust us is if we act trustworthy. Now, I have to take another break. But before I do, I want to remind you that all my shows typically go to podcast a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, basically any place you get podcasts. And if you would do me a favor, subscribe, give me a like, give me a review, especially on Apple Podcasts. Help others find the Constitution Study. Help others find the blessings of liberty. Also, if you've ever tried reading the Constitution or taking a class and it just didn't quite click, well, I have something you might enjoy. Check out the Constitution Study online. Just head to constitutionstudy.com/study and find out how you can try it absolutely free.
This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the Immune Super Boost that I need. Go to HealthyCell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Hello again, everyday Americans. Welcome back. Thank you for joining me. We're here at the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about trust and how trust is really a multifaceted thing. You trust other people, but other people have to trust you. And if there's one thing that really where trust has taken a hit, it's got to be the 2020 elections. I mean, we trust that when we go into the ballot box and we cast our vote, that the election is free, fair, and transparent. That our vote gets counted. It gets counted properly. It is not mistreated. It is not counteracted by an invalid vote. But we saw some things in the 2020 elections that were truly disturbing. And based on the people I've talked to recently, really has damaged the trust we have in the election process. And if you can't trust the elections, again, how can you trust that the people we've hired to represent us are actually the people we hired? Now, you may have heard of this thing called Zuckerbucks. Mark Zucker gave hundreds of millions of dollars to an organization that used it to, well, there's no easy way to put it, buy influence in county elections. Now, they didn't actually fund candidates. What they did is they offered to help county election boards where they thought it would have the greatest impact for Democratic candidates. They spent many more times money in districts that were Democratic leading than they did in Republican leading. It's a new way of peddling influence. And I know a lot of people that talk about getting money out of politics, and you're never going to get money out of politics. But remember, yes, Mark Zuckerberg spent hundreds of millions of dollars to influence the 2020 election. That appears to be the truth. And yes, the organization he gave money to shelter him from accusation, they used that money to manipulate the 2020 election. But also remember, if your county election board took that money, they are just as guilty. See, bribery is not only giving something to pervert a decision, but it's accepting it. So we've seen this a lot in Wisconsin and a lot of states, but recently there was a lawsuit in Michigan dealing specifically with the money that Mark Zuckerberg had funneled through this organization, apparently to influence the 2020 election. Now, in fact, in their complaint, they allege that the Centers for Technology and Civic Life, which is the group that received the funding from Zuckerberg, as well as the primary donors, again, Zuckerberg and his family, sought to influence the 2020 general election by making funds available to local election jurisdictions in a targeted fashion. Now, this really is interesting because, and again, they didn't promote a candidate, but they did try to spend money in a way that would have an influence on the outcome of the election. The complaint also alleges that the defendant should have taken action in response to local election officials' receipt of the funds. In other words, it isn't simply that the Zuckerberg spent the money, but the defendant, in this case, Joycelyn Benson, the Secretary of State of Michigan, should have taken action when local election officials were receiving private money to, again, help them conduct their election. Now, maybe they realized it was partisan, maybe not, but again, taking private money to help with the election, should have been a red flag. Now, this case was before a judge in Michigan who has, he's basically dismissed the case because he says the plaintiffs don't have standing. You see, the plaintiffs were registered voters who lived in Oakland, Macomb, and or Livingston County in Michigan, and they voted in the 2020 general election. And the judge says they don't have standing to complain that the Secretary of State didn't do anything when these county election boards accepted private money to help them, quote unquote, help them with their election. Now, these people claim they suffered irreparable constitutional injury because Secretary Benson failed to supervise and regulate the conduct of the 2020 election. Specifically, that she failed to prevent public election officials in selected jurisdictions from accepting financial backing from private interests and conducting the election under the direction of those private parties. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of the case, but I want you to think about this. So we need to trust in the election. If we cannot trust the elections, our constitutional system fails to function. If the people aren't choosing their electors, then if we are not choosing our representatives, then we no longer live in a republic. But how do we trust the system when the judge who looks at this says they don't have standing? Now, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's something in his in the judge's order that I haven't read. I haven't read the whole thing. That explains why they haven't found standing. But then again, that brings up another question. Why did it fall to these private individuals to sue? What about everyone else? What about everybody else who was impacted? Because the entire country has been impacted by the actions of the CTCL and the Zuckerbergs. And what is required to have standing if the election was manipulated by outside forces? Because we ultimately ended up with Joe Biden sitting in the office of president. Now, I find this interesting because Joe Biden has done everything he can to slow down, to prevent the production of energy in this country. We went within a matter of days, if not weeks, from an energy producing nation to an energy consuming nation. In other words, you went from selling energy overseas to buying energy from overseas. And now we have a draft order that is being worked on. Granted, it is still in the pre-decisional phase, where the same president that has shut down drilling and fracking wants to increase domestic mining, but only for products that will help the green economy, the production of batteries, electric vehicles, because it's essential to national defense. Now listen, I believe there's a place for electric vehicles in our country. There are places where they make technological sense. There are places where they make no technological sense. I drive around the country speaking and putting on events. Electric vehicles make no sense for that. But again, we have a question of trust. Now, the trust is, if you're looking at national defense, why, when faced with a shortage of oil, rather than opening up and making it easier for American companies to produce oil and gasoline to help drive the price down, our president, our commander-in-chief, is trying to buy oil from people who are not friendly to us. You know, Iran and Venezuela. Why is it when we encounter a problem, rather than drilling for oil, which we desperately need, does he want to mine for minerals to help a tiny fledgling part of our economy? As we watch inflation run rampant, why is he looking to spend more money than less? See, again, it's a question of trust. See, I find it hard to believe President Biden is that worried about national defense when, rather than fixing a problem we have today, he's trying to fix problems that we may have in 10 or 20 years. See, rather than helping America produce more oil, he's going to take money out of our strategic reserve, which is there for our national defense. And he's going to try and use that to drop the price of oil, but the quantities he's talking about is maybe a day or two's worth of oil consumption. See, it's kind of hard to trust someone when it seems like everything they do has the exact opposite effect of what they claim. Now, my ire for the president isn't limited to Joe Biden. I had issues with what Trump did. I had issues with what Obama did. I had issues with what the Bushes did. I had issues with what Reagan did, which is, by the way, as early as I voted for president was Reagan. But that really is a problem because we don't trust, at least I don't trust, that any president has a clue what the Constitution actually says, because they don't follow their oath of office. They don't follow the Constitution. They don't faithfully enforce the laws of the United States. They don't. Which means we have a serious trust deficit. And again, this is just another example. Another example of why people don't trust those in government. Oh, what's the new one, too? Oh, there's a new tax. Of course, when in doubt, the government will come up with a new tax. President Biden's proposing a billionaire minimum income tax. Oh, great. There are people out there going, great, soak the millionaire, make them pay their fair share. Funny that nobody ever touched what their fair share is. But you see, when the justification that President Biden uses for that is found to be false, how do we trust that what he's saying is true? Well, for example, he says that billionaires only pay about 8% of their total realized and unrealized income in taxes. That's a very important statement. He says a firefighter or teacher can pay double that tax rate. Now, why did it say realized and unrealized income? Because unrealized income is income you haven't got yet. Imagine this. So you have to understand, for those of you who don't understand the way capital gains tax works, all right? If you buy something of value and you hold on to it for a few years and then you sell it for more money than you paid for it, that's a capital gain and you pay taxes on it. Now, if you buy a stock, let's say you buy a stock, I don't care what the stock is, you buy a stock at $10 a share. Now, if that stock goes up to $20 a share, well, the stock is worth more, but you haven't gained any income until you sell it. See, what he wants to do, and this is a neat little trick, they've been trying it, him and Elizabeth Warren have been trying this for years. They want you to pay tax on money you haven't made yet. Imagine this. Let's say you get a paycheck. Now, imagine getting a paycheck but paying taxes on money you haven't made yet. If you get paid once a week, imagine that every week they're going to take out not just that week's taxes, but an extra week's taxes as well. Because, well, there's a gain coming. You know, this hasn't been paid yet. You haven't been paid for that time yet, but we're going to give it, we're going to tax it because, well, you're probably going to get it, right? Except you're pretty sure to get a paycheck. Well, that is, unless you get fired or laid off or the business closes, then how do you recoup all those taxes that you paid for income that you didn't make yet? See, it's that old saying, right? Lies, darn lies, and statistics. It is not a question of what percentage that the billionaires pay of their realized. How much income did they actually make? How much actual income did they have? That's more like 18-20%, I believe. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But no, by looking at the money they have invested but haven't taken income from yet, he makes it look like they don't pay anything. Except if you look at the numbers from the IRS, the wealthiest among us pay the highest percentage of our income taxes. Now, if we want to look at the tax structure, I'm all for it. But it just proves to me I can't trust what President Biden is saying about this because he's intentionally manipulating the data. He wants to tax income that hasn't happened yet because he and Congress and presidents before him and Congresses before them have spent money they don't have. They have fleeced the American people dry. They have extorted trillions of dollars from the American people, and he wants to get out from under. He doesn't care that we don't have enough money to pay for all the debts they've incurred. He just doesn't want to be the one that doesn't have a chair when the music stops. He wants to make sure, like all politicians, they want to make sure that they've left the stage before the music stops. That's where this realized and unrealized income nonsense comes from. If you don't pay income taxes on money you haven't made yet, why should you expect somebody else to? No, it's a scam. And by the way, even if you took every dollar that every billionaire had, you still could not fund the federal budget. So we don't trust them. And if we don't trust others, if we don't start making better, more trustworthy decisions of people to represent us, the future of America is bleak. Now, the good news is it's not over yet. There's still a chance. But we have to make a change. We have to start changing how we choose people to represent us, to work for us in government. Because if we can't trust them, the republic is dead. Now, before I go, I want to remind you, Immune Super Boost is back in stock. That's right. If you, like me, if you love Healthy Cell and you like the Immune Super Boost, it's finally available again. And now you can get the ultimate immune boosting package. Buy Immune Super Boost by April 7th, and you can get a free package of AC1 just by using the code OUTLOUD at checkout. Now, as always, you'll get 20% off your first order by using that code OUTLOUD at checkout. Just head to healthycell.com, try any of their products for the 20% off, and if you buy the Immune Super Boost by April 7th, they will include a package of AC11. Now, remember, you can listen to the Constitution Study 5 days a week, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, on the America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen on our Word Class media player apps, including Apple, Android, and Alexa. You can find out more at AmericaOutLoud.com and help share the blessings of liberty.
Paid bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.